So we'll continue on this evening on our study on the Holy Spirit. We'll be in John chapter 14. We'll be our springboard, really, John 14, verse 16 through 18. This evening, what I'd like to examine, it's a bit of an overview, but we'll mention some new things as well. But just before, we've been looking at the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he does for us at the moment of regeneration and conversion. But then there's some things that he does for us as he indwells us as we go on as Christians. And I just want to point some of those things out. I'm not going to preach on every... I've got nine things I'm going to mention tonight. And so if I preached a big mess, you could preach on every one of them, but that would just drag the whole series out another 3 months. So I just don't believe we need to do that. So I'm going to mention these nine things in regards to the ministry of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Nine things he does for us as he indwells us as believers. So for our reading this evening, John chapter 14, we'll start in verse 16, and we'll read 17 and 18 as well. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. And we sung about the Comforter abiding with us, didn't we? Thank God for that. That he may abide with you forever. Seems like that was a scriptural song. Don't you think? Amen. Okay. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. My Lord, we need your help tonight. And Father, I just confess to you, my Lord, I'm not able to do it without thee. Now I plead for your enabling. Please help. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help the dear brethren here this evening. Please minister grace to them. Help them, Lord. Pray you'd open our eyes, our understanding. God, just please help us grow in our love and appreciation for God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the Lord Jesus speaking with his disciples, and he's chatting there with Thomas in verse 5 and Philip in verse 8 and Judas in verse 22, not Iscariot, but he's chatting to his disciples here, and he's talking with them, and he's encouraging them there in verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. And he said, I'm where I'm going, you can't come with me, but you can come later. And but when I go, I'll send a comforter back, and you won't be comfortless. You will have a comforter, even though I'm not with you. And we see that there in verse 17. Now, we've mentioned this a little bit. I wonder, can you tell me the importance of the last portion of verse 17? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Remember, we examined that. Anyone made note of that in their Bible? Or Johnny, what's going on there, mate? What have we covered? Amen. All right, so what we've got, the first portion there, for he dwelleth with you, is pre-Pentecost. That's before Pentecost. He dwelleth with you. He wasn't in, he was just dwelling with. But he are post-Pentecost and shall be in you. So we see the Holy Spirit of God pre-Pentecost was with the believers. And he was on some of the believers throughout the Old Testament. He moved on some of them, not all of them, but some of them throughout the Old Testament. But then, post-Pentecost, he was in all believers. And he says that there, and shall be in you. And that's what we're examining this evening, the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us that are born of God. There's three times in the New Testament that we find the phrase dwelleth in you or dwelleth in us in relation to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And lastly, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." So it's undeniable that the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. We as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. And that happens at the very moment of regeneration. The moment we're saved, God, the Holy Ghost, takes up residence inside each and every believer. And so from that very point of conversion, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling not with you, but in you from there on. And so we're going to look at the indwelling ministry and what he does for us on a daily basis. Now, you're in John chapter 14, point number one, and one of the most blessed things is the ministry of consolation. Consolation, or comfort. Notice it, it was in our reading. Notice verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." It's actually one of his names. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. One of his main ministries is a ministry of consolation and comfort, "that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And he came in the person of God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit came. One of his main chief roles is that role of comfort and consolation. The word consolation has the idea of the act of consoling, the state of being consoled or comfort. It's the alleviation of misery and distress of mind, refreshment of spirit. It's just all about that comfort that the Holy Ghost of God brings in our life. Notice John chapter 14 and verse 26. He's referred to here as the Comforter again, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." And then in chapter 15 and verse 26, "but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then lastly, we also see in John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So there's those passages of scripture in those three chapters where he's referred consistently to as the Comforter, because his chief ministry in indwelling the believer is consolation and comfort of the believer. Praise God for that. I need that in my life as a Christian. Three areas of consolation we see it. Notice back in John 14 and verse 16, his abiding presence brings comfort. Notice what it says, "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." His abiding presence. Thank God the Comforter is always with me, no matter where I go, no matter what I'm going through, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, there is that abiding presence that brings consolation to the believer. And I need that, and you need that in your life as a Christian. And that's one of his chief ministries. Not only his abiding presence, but notice in verse 18, his assuring promise. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." That word comfortless, if you look that up, it comes from the same root word that we get our English word orphaned from. So what the Lord Jesus is saying is, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going, but you're not going to be an orphan when I go. You're not going to be comfortless. You're not going to be without a parent watching over you. I'm going to come and I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to comfort you. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And he's assuring promise. And then lastly, under this point of consolation, we see his amazing peace. Notice in verse 26 and verse 27 of the same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Brethren, we don't need to be troubled. We don't need to be afraid because we have the amazing peace of God available to us because of the consolation ministry of the Holy Spirit as he indwells the believer. Wonderful ministry. So as he's indwelling you and he's abiding with you forever, as we sung about, one of his chief ministries is comforting you on the way. Being a comforter. Consolation. Wonderful. Secondly, point number two is education. Educate. Not only consolation, but education. And how we all need to be educated in the things of God. And John chapter 14 and verse 26, notice what it says. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. It's the Comforter that educates us on the things of God. It's the Comforter, it's the Holy Ghost that instructs us and teaches us. The Christian is the student. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Bible is the textbook. The Son is the subject. God the Spirit inspired and breathed the Scriptures so the child of God could know God and his ways. Thank God for that. That God the Holy Spirit, he was behind the Scriptures. He breathed the Scriptures. He inspired the Scriptures. And then, as he's abiding in us, he's educating us in the Scriptures that he authored. He's teaching us all things, educating us, guiding us and directing us. And we spoke about that the other day, Kieran, about praying and asking the Holy Spirit to give us more light on certain subjects and to open our understanding and guide us and direct us. And we all need that. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he teaches us and he instructs us in the Word of God. So how does he educate us? Well, number one, by teaching in personal instruction. You see that in verse 26, which we looked at. So there's teaching, but also by reminding in verse 26. He said, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Let me point this out to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So that's the Lord Jesus speaking. You know, we could say that that's a reference to the Gospels. And he instructs us and guides us and reminds us and brings to remembrance all that the Lord Jesus has said and taught throughout the Gospels. He's teaching, not only teaching, but reminding, but then also guiding. Notice it in John chapter 16 and verse 13, and the first portion of that, John 16 and verse 13, and just the first few words really. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hey, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God indwelling me and educating me, I would be a lost mess. Wouldn't you? And we need the Holy Ghost not only teaching us and reminding us, but also guiding us into all truth. And that could be a reference to the church epistles, couldn't it? Teaching, guiding, direction. And then also, not only that, but fourthly under this education, we have by showing us. John 16, verse 13, and the last portion of the verse. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. By showing you. Well, how's he going to show us things to come? Well, let me say this first of all. I had a gentleman come by here, I guess it wasn't Friday just gone, it was the Friday before, and he had some extra biblical revelation for me. Now, he was a prophet all the way from Hobart, and he was a lovely man. I think he is quite off on some things, but he had some extra biblical revelation, according to him. But now listen. All that God has for mankind is revealed in the Scriptures. And if you've got anything extra for me that the Holy Spirit showed you, I'm a little concerned. A little concerned about what you might have been smoking. A little concerned about what you might have had for lunch. Hey, it's all been revealed. We have the full revelation in the book of Revelation. Fancy that. We have the full revelation in all the other prophetical books throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all been revealed. But he shows us that. The Holy Spirit guides us and shows us and brings to remembrance and teaches us. So there's the ministry of consolation, but then secondly there's that wonderful ministry of education. And he's just educating us in the things of God and the Scriptures, in the ways of God and the person of God himself. Wonderful ministry. I'm telling you, I said to you, it's just an overview, all right? I'm really just naming them, mentioning a few things, and we're moving on. Thirdly, we got the ministry of glorification. Have a look in chapter 15 and verse 26. The extra biblical revelation was Trump's going to hit the nuclear button, and he found some things in Scripture that were going to help us get us through the nuclear holocaust. Praise the Lord. So the ministry of glorification, John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Okay? Now have a look in verse 14 of chapter 16. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That word glorification or to glorify means to praise, honour, magnify, to make a boast of, to make big of. And you know that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does of Jesus. And you'll notice as you study the Scriptures, you'll notice as you study the Godhead that each portion of the Godhead glorifies another portion of the Godhead. They don't glorify themselves. And so one of the great ministries of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus in our lives. God the Son exalted God the Father. God the Father exalted God the Son. And God the Spirit exalts God the Son. That's just how it is. You study it through Scripture. So the Holy Spirit indwelling you, he's not glorifying himself. He's not boasting about himself. He's boasting on Jesus. He's exalting Jesus. He's lifting Jesus up. That's what it says there in verse 26. He shall testify of me. In verse 14, he shall glorify me, Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes and the Comforter comes and he indwells you, he's going to testify of me and he's going to glorify me. And so that's one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is glorification. Fourthly, is illumination. Go back to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Am I moving too quick? We doing okay? Illumination. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Previously, we noticed that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:21, as thou art moved by the Holy Ghost, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So he inspired the Word of God. He's no longer inspiring scripture, but he is illuminating scripture to the believer. He shows them things. As you're reading the Bible, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, you're sitting down, maybe you got your morning coffee or your whatever it is you drink in the morning. What do you drink in the morning? If you don't drink coffee, I don't even want to hear about it. Whatever you drink in the morning, you get your cup of coffee or your cup of tea or whatever it is, your glass of water, and you sit down and you're just spending time with the Lord and you just read in the Word. Remember, the Holy Spirit's indwelling you. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's there while you're reading it. Mm-hmm. And you've read it 100 times. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just goes, sheds a little bit of light, illuminates it, and like, yeah. That fits in there. I see. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not your intellect. Mm-hmm. Don't flatter yourself. That's the Holy Spirit illuminating the scriptures. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you and teaching you and showing you. He authored it. He can teach you it. He can illuminate it. He can bring it to light. He can bring it alive. That's the work of the Holy Spirit as he's indwelling you, illuminating the scriptures and bringing them to life. You see that the scriptures is authored by an infinite God, right? And it's all about an infinite God. And here you are with your little pea brain, finite mind trying to understand an infinite God. You'll never do it. You'll never comprehend it all. It's impossible for you to do it. But it is possible for the Holy Spirit who authored it to illuminate it and teach you and guide you and show you things in the scriptures. Wonderful ministry, that ministry of illumination where he sheds light and shows you things in the Word of God. It happens fairly frequently. You're studying, and you know, you've read it, you've even studied that passage. You've got your Strong's Concordance out, and you've been through it, and you've been over it, and you've read commentators, and you've prayed over it, and you've studied. You think you've just studied it to death. Oh yeah, I got to the bottom of that. I know that one now. And then you come back, and the Holy Spirit says, you didn't see this bit here. Oh, I didn't see that bit. Because we're constantly growing and constantly learning. And he just reveals and shows you enough that you need to know at that time. And as you keep studying, you keep seeing more and more. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. The more you read it, the more you study it, the more you'll get out of it. It's the only manuscript in the world that you will never exhaust. Every other book, you'll get to the end of it. Well, we finished that. Can't get anything else. But not the book, because it's quick. Powerful. Praise God. What a wonderful book. Not only illumination, but fifthly, the ministry of identification. We need to go over the book of Romans for this, please. Romans chapter 8. The ministry of identification. And, in amongst the body of Christ, in amongst believers, different personalities struggle with different things. And some people struggle with their assurance of salvation. I thank the Lord I've never struggled with that, not once. I never have. I've struggled with other things. I've struggled, I remember we were up in Darwin. And when we were up there ministering in Darwin, Kaylee was only a few weeks old. And I remember the devil getting on me. And I really questioned my call to preach and call to the ministry. And I nearly was at the point of throwing it all in and saying, yeah, you're right. Yeah, what in the world am I doing? What a joke. I have doubted that. I still do. But I've never doubted my salvation. But I understand that some of you do struggle with that. And lots of believers do. It's a real struggle for some personalities and for some people. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. One of his greatest ministries is the ministry of identification. It's one of the most important of all his indwelling ministries to the believer, that he and he alone can remove doubt over your identification as a Christian. People can get down and they can, oh yeah, look at this verse. Oh, this will help you. This helped me. It'll help you. And they bring you the verse and they say, read that, that'll help you. You'll never doubt again if you read that verse. And you read it and you're like, whoop-de-doo. Because it's not until the Holy Spirit takes that verse and says, dear child, you're one of God's.
Amen.
And until that happens, nothing else will bring you peace. The only one that can give you assurance and give you peace of your salvation is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's not my job. It's not your job. Don't do that to people. Don't say, well, of course you're saved. You prayed. Remember when you prayed, parents, be careful with this. It's not your job. We want to. Our heart cries out, oh, boy, you know. Leave it alone. Only the Holy Spirit, it's one of his greatest ministries as he indwells the believer, is giving that peace of identification. It's wonderful. And I know some of you can testify of that it's only the Holy Spirit that brought that peace to you. People get down beside you. Well, you're just lost. You just need to get saved. If you'll just get saved, you'll have peace. And then someone else 6 months later, well, you're saved. Of course you're saved. Look at this. Because that's just man. You just got to leave it alone and let God, the Holy Ghost, do his work. Right? The ministry of identification. Praise God. I'm glad that I identify as one of God's. Saved, saved, saved. What is that song? Is that the name of the song? That sounds like a good title for that song. What a pelican. All right, number 6, supplication, the ministry of supplication, Romans chapter 8, and notice verse 26 and 27. Supplication. The word, the English word supplication means entreaty, petition, and earnest request. Notice Romans chapter 8. Hang on now. That might work actually. I'm in 1 Corinthians, so that's probably why I'm having trouble. I thought I'd wrote the wrong reference down. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Okay, here we go. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a wonderful ministry that the indwelling Holy Ghost is supplicating, if that's okay, on our behalf. Making supplication. He's entreating. He's putting forth our petition and our earnest request. You know, there's many times we as Christians find ourselves in a situation or a position where we just don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Have you ever been there? It's a perplexing place to be. Some great burden upon your heart and you get down and pray and you don't even know what to pray. I've been there many, many times. Well, you know what you can do? You need to be reminded in those situations that you have an indwelling Holy Spirit. And And notice what verse 26 says. Let me read it so I don't get it wrong. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't have a clue. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You don't know what to pray. Don't know how to pray. Great burden upon your heart. The Holy Spirit can take that. He knows what's in your spirit. He knows what's in your heart. And he can take that and he can just pour it out before the Lord, before God the Father. What an incredible ministry, the Holy Spirit. You need to be aware of that. When you get in those perplexing situations as a believer, that the Holy Spirit, one of his great ministries is interceding on behalf of the saints. That's what he does. Wonderful. That ministry of supplication. Okay. Seven, the ministry of liberation. Chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. So let's just go to where it should be there in Romans 8. Notice verse 1 and 2, liberation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Liberation is to be delivered or to be set free. When the Holy Spirit moves in and indwells us, one of the wonderful things he does for us is he sets us free from the bondage of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we're exhorted over in the book of Galatians, we're exhorted to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. But we're also exhorted not to use our liberty as an occasion for the flesh. So what are we told? What's the liberty from? The liberty, it's not a liberation to sin. It's a liberation from sin. It's a liberation from self. Not a liberty to do whatever you want. When you were lost, you were in bondage to sin. You couldn't help but sin. But when the Holy Ghost of God converts you and takes up residence within you, you're no longer in bondage to sin. You don't have to sin anymore. You've been set free from sin. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I don't believe you'll get to that plane where you no longer have to live in sin down here on earth. I've never met one person that's that way. Not a one. But he will set you at liberty from sin. There's a liberation that comes with the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. A freedom from the condemnation of sin. It says it very plainly there in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So there's a setting free from the condemnation of sin. A setting free from the control of sin. Sin shall... What's that verse? Yeah, can anyone quote it perfectly? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. We're not under the bondage of sin. Sin doesn't have to be in control. You've been set free from the control of sin. As a lost person, you were under the control of sin. But as a saved person, there is an opportunity for you to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and not be controlled by sin. Amen. So a freedom from the condemnation of sin, a freedom from the control of sin, and a freedom from a continuation in sin. Notice verse 3 and 4 of Romans chapter 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Christian, you can walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. You can choose to walk after the flesh, but it's a choice. You don't have to. You can walk in sin. You don't have to. So there's the ministry of liberation. Number eight, the ministry of conviction. Go with me to John chapter 16. John 16. Verse 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Praise God. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and he sees me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is the reproving work, and that's where we get our word conviction from. The word reprove means to convince, it means to expose, it means to bring into the light. And God, the Holy Ghost, has to convict you and convince you that you're a sinner before you'll ever be converted. And only he can convince you. Only he can expose you and bring you into the light before God. But he will. But you know, as the Holy Spirit indwells us, he not only convicts us as sinners, but he convicts us as saints. And as he's indwelling us, and as you're walking the straight and narrow way, and you start to look, oh, what's over there? Or you start to look over here, oh, what's over there? And the Holy Spirit says, hey, careful now. Careful. It's that still small voice. Usually not big thunderclaps. You see that in 1 Kings 19 and verse 12. You remember that passage? And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Just rebuking, reproving, tapping you on the shoulder, saying, hey, stop. Hey, you've gone too far. Hey, you need to stop that. Hey, that attitude's not right. Hey, that behavior's not right. Hey, that what you're listening to is wrong. Hey, that decision you're going to make, you know you shouldn't do that. And then we have an opportunity either to listen to that still small voice that's convicting us, or we shut it out and push it away. But go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Listen, if you say you're saved and you've never been chastened of the Lord, the scripture says that you're a bastard and not a son. You're an illegitimate child. And God, the Holy Ghost, chastens those whom he loves. Notice with me, we'll start our reading in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That word rebuked is the same word reproved, where we get our same word conviction from. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Do you see that? There's plenty of children I see in the shopping center I want to just pull up and wear out. Come here. Respect your mum. Stop touching that when she tells you to stop touching it. I can't do that because they're not my children. I want to. It infuriates me. But it's not my play. I would be completely out of line doing that. That would be just so wrong for me to take hold of someone else's child and discipline them. Well, that's God's the same. He doesn't discipline those that aren't his children. Amen. Hey, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil, and he's just going to leave you alone. You're not his child. He's not going to chasten you. Thank God I'm a child of the King. Amen. Thank God for that indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit where he convicts me and he chastens me and he gives me a bit of a kick and a bit of a slap and a bit of a Get back in line. Because if you didn't, I'd wander away. And you would too. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Lastly, we see the ministry of preservation. And we touched on this. Well, we didn't just touch on it. We covered it thoroughly. But I'll mention it in passing as we close. And it's all in and around that ministry of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And it's that sealing ministry. Let me say this, folks. It's not the believer that keeps himself saved. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that preserves the child of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice what this verse says, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Have a look there. Go with me. I want you to see it. We've just got a couple of scriptures, a couple of things to say, and then we're finished. The ministry of preservation. The word I want you to see here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 is the word power. It's the power of God. And the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the power of God. Notice this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. They're kept by the power of God. It's the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It is He who preserves the soul of man. Listen to this verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know how great an individual it is that is indwelling you? It's God the Holy Ghost. He has infinite power. And if God the Holy Ghost can't keep you saved, no one can keep you saved. It says, greater is He that is in you. If you're saved, He is in you. And there's more power than in Him than in anything else, not only on this earth, but in all the heavens and all the universe. It's not the perseverance of the saints that keeps them saved. It's the perseverance of the sacrifice of Christ. It's not the perseverance of the saints that keeps them saved. It's the perseverance of the seal of the Holy Spirit. We who are saved, notice these three things and I'm finished. We who are saved, if you're converted and born again, number one, you're seated in the heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. You're shut up in the hand of God. John chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. If you're saved, you're seated in the heavenlies, shut up in the hand of God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that wonderful ministry of preservation. I tell you, I'm so thrilled of all those ministries of the Holy Spirit as He indwells the believer. All that He does for you on a daily basis, if you just walk in the Spirit. He won't do it if you're not walking in the Spirit. He won't do some of those things. Some of those things are unconditional. Like the last one's unconditional. But He's not just going to illuminate the Scriptures while you're off in sin. That's not going to happen. This is going to be dead to you while you're living in sin. You're going to read it and it's going to mean nothing to you. You're going to get very... I'll confess to you, there's times that I can't find any sin in my... You know what I mean? Unconfessed rebellion and sin, and it's still dead. Have you ever had those times? You just open it up and it's just... You just go through a season where it seems kind of dry. Oh, Lord, what is it? Have I grieved the Holy Spirit? Best I know, I can't see anything. But listen, my point is, if you walk in the Spirit the best of your ability, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do for you on a daily basis as He indwells the believer.